Welcome to the Water Podcast. Water is a family of libraries for testing web applications. You can find more about it at water.com. This is episode 60, recorded on September 28th, 2016. My name is Dave McNulla, and I'm a software tester in Southern California. Today I'm talking with John Franchi. Did I pronounce that right?
That's right.
So John is going to talk to us about what it's like to get started with water, and he's a more recent user. John, can you tell me what made you interested in getting started with water?
Well, I have been following up on the side of my job, trying to learn Ruby, and I kind of had an interest in doing things with Ruby. And so when we got together on this project and decided that we needed to start working on some automated regression testing, you know, Selenium was one of the first things that came up. But in my previous sort of studies of Ruby, you know, I had come across water before, and I had tried to poke around with it, you know, just really briefly, you know, experimental things for a half hour, hour, a couple hours, maybe, a long time ago. And so, you know, as soon as we got down to coming to this decision about what we wanted to use, I started reading more and more about water, and I seem to have a pretty active community, and I'm based in Austin. I noticed quite a few of the people that are working on it are based in Austin, and it seemed from the comparisons that people had written about writing stuff for Selenium directly or writing it using water, that it was a little bit more compact to write it in Ruby, to write it in water rather. So that kind of drew me initially.
Did you ever get to see the comparison that was done by Alistair Scott on his Watermelon site?
You know, that may, when I say I had read some comparisons, you know, of like how to accomplish the same goal in Selenium and water, it may have been Alistair Scott's comparison that I was looking at, actually.
I thought that was a pretty good summation of the differences and the strengths of each of the tools. So when you got started with it, tell me what were some of the things that you found to be easy and helpful?
I think it just visually it reads so simply in some, you know, I think once you get the hang of it, it reads very simply, in that it's just structured like the DOM, and so that's just a simple hierarchy, and so if you follow that flow, it's, you know, there are some stumbling blocks with it, but that basic concept gives it a kind of readability that is, it's just, you know, people who don't even know the Ruby language can just look at it and make heads or tails of what's going on. And I think that makes it pretty useful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some of the areas that you found pretty difficult?
You know, so the application that I'm trying to use this on is an in-house enterprise application that has been, it hasn't really been, the front end of it hasn't really had much done to it in the last 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. So it's a little dated I'm not a front end web developer. You know, I have some knowledge of that, but I don't know that we're necessarily using all current practices and current organizational structure of pages and things like that. But I will say that, you know, we don't necessarily have everything in place for testing. You know, we don't have an ID everywhere that we should have one. I think that makes it a little bit more challenging. You know, one of the things that I stumbled on at first was the fact that we use iframes everywhere. And so you have to, you know, kind of embed yourself inside the iframe before you mm-hmm. can nestle into that little iframe DOM. We also have we use a menu structure that, you know, we just bought off the shelf from another company called Melonic Menus. I mean, there's a lot of companies that use it for menus. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the IDs of all the menus actually are randomly assigned or dynamically assigned, not randomly, but dynamically. And it depends on what permissions you might have as to what menu options you would have. So they're not static. Like I can't guarantee that the value for this menu on this day is the same, you know, if I log in as a different user or if I slightly change the permissions or something like that. So
okay.
That immediately made it break down. We had to try about three or four different ways before we could really figure out how to get through our menu structure. So it didn't work the first way we did it at all, you know, and then we worked through it a little while before we finally said, okay, let me create another account and strip out a ton of permissions. Let's strip out any of the startup things that we don't need. And let's make like a clean slate for this. And then let's go from there and then start navigating the menu. So we don't have duplication.
Okay.
And you know, I think that probably we're going to find that we have to do some development in order to bend the software a little bit more in the direction of being testable. But I would say that all of those things have been sort of obstacles so far, is that it's just the page, the way we had it structured was just not great for this. And there are a lot of pages that would need some modification in order to make it work a little bit better. But we did get it to work for the most part. For about 99% of pages, we kept trying some different things, but there are some, you know, if there are shared words, sometimes I think we had to use text in my proof of concept. We ended up having to use the text mm-hmm. of certain menu options.
Yes.
And so navigating those became a little bit more touch and go, because if there were some shared words that didn't necessarily work exactly as expected.
Okay. All right. I remember seeing some lessons in Cucumbers and Cheese, a book from Jeff Morgan. And he was talking about working with iframes. Have you looked at any books for how to deal with some of the older web technologies?
I've heard of the Cucumber and Cheese book, but I haven't picked it up. But I haven't, you know, the point I'm at right now has really been let's get some a proof of concept, and then let's get a couple examples that actually do something really useful for us right now. So the proof mm-hmm. of concept, which was log in, navigate the menu, perform some functions, return some results, and identify those results match what I was looking for. And that, you know, it took probably about a day to do. And I ended up working with one of the developers who's been around for a long time, and so who knows the ins and out of, you know, our sort of wonky old machine. Mm-hmm. And he got me back on the right track a little bit and said, oh, no, forget about this. Let's try this one over here. And so, you know, after we sat down for about an hour and a half together, we had a solid working proof of concept. And so what I'm at right now is we have some testing for an upcoming project that I want to make an actual useful module for. So I haven't really dug that far into all of the things that might go into it, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that actually until the last couple of days when I started working on it a little bit again, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I think on Monday I spent some time on this again for this, some upcoming development and got a little bit further along, but I had set it aside for the last few weeks. So, you know, we're doing a lot of things to determine what tools to use for testing right now. A lot of time has been spent on that. So this hasn't, I'm like in a pretty early investigative phase still, and I haven't spent all of my time investigating how to automate the page, the front of the application. We've been on some other topics and some other projects. So I've kind of set that aside for a little bit, but you know, I jumped back into it pretty quickly after having left it for like 3 weeks. So that's pretty reassuring. I kind of got it back together, and you know, I'd already had a little module for the login. So I was already, you know, off to step five, just to get started again. So that was pretty good.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you, which test framework are you using with this? Such as RSpec or TestUnit or Cucumber or something else?
So we're not going to be using Cucumber. I think that we're going to be using RSpec. That's the sort of tentative plan right now. Mm-hmm. There's some possible other integrations with some other languages. We haven't had a final decision on that yet, but I kind of like the idea of just using RSpec for this.
Okay. What are some of the other technologies you're using this with? Like, what's the platform that you're developing on? What's the platform you think it'll be running on?
You know, for the short term, we've set up some virtual machines that are just Windows environments because this is mostly a corporate application that is used by like 1,000 employees. You know, it's not out there in the wild. We don't really need to test for Chrome and Firefox because we don't officially support them. You know, it's one of the benefits of having an application that's basically on a corporate intranet. You know, we say it's an IE application, and so everyone uses IE, and that basically works for us. So, you know, I have a couple VM boxes that are running, that are just running Windows, and we're going to be able to fire those up and run some test suites from there. We may in the future, there's more than one project in the go, and so we may in the future have a Jenkins sort of thing going on. I don't know if it'll be Jenkins or if we'll end up using something else, but for right now, I think I'll probably only be using the IE Selenium driver and not running it headless, just running it IE in the Windows environments, at least for this portion of it. You know, there's some other testing things I have going on, but for the water portion of it, I think that's the short to midterm plan right now. I think that gets us a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are some of the sources you've been using for support to get help with problems?
So there was a Google chat. There was a Google group rather that at one point I was reading some of the Q&A on. You know, I think I sort of picked this up in the transition phase.
And that's Water General, the Google group.
I think so. I believe so. I haven't looked at it in a minute, but yeah, I think that's right. And I kind of picked it up on water in a transition phase. You know, the site has changed, but not all the information has shifted over. So it was a little confusing at the time, I think, to try to figure out what version, which named version of water is the appropriate one to be working with. But that seems to be getting resolved as time goes on as well, getting it migrated to the new site and stuff.
Okay. All right.
Also use the Slack chat a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I also see a lot of people on Stack Overflow.
Yeah, and I do check Stack Overflow for things. And I also noticed that a lot of the folks that are answering on Stack Overflow are, you know, the key members in the community. So it's clear that the people in the community, you know, I see Titus and I see some other names that I don't necessarily remember right the second, but that I recognize from forums and from other lists that that seem to be answering a lot of the water related questions on Stack Overflow. So that's good because there are eyes on it. And so when people ask and tag water questions, somebody who really understands it is jumping in as fast as possible and trying to get some good answers out there.
Awesome. So if you don't mind, I'd like to invite you back in the future to get a follow-on to see how things are going.
I would love to. I would really hope that, you know, in a few weeks or a few months' time, I'd be able to say that we have, you know, a significant percentage of the application covered in water tests. That would make me really happy. So I would love to come back and talk about it and talk about the things I learned along the way.
That sounds great. My site is dmcnulla.wordpress.com, and my Twitter account is at dmcnulla. And John, do you have anything that you want to plug, a Twitter account or a blog or?
No, I'm good. I just appreciate the time.
I do too. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for listening to the Water Podcast. You can leave a comment at soundcloud.com/waterpodcast. You can donate to the Water Project at water.com. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. All links will be in the episode show notes. Music for the Water Podcast is by Lee Rosevier, entitled Puzzle Pieces, released February 2016 under the label Happy Puppy Records.